WGTD, you're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Valkovsky, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. One of the things I like best about being one of the hosts of Education Matters is that I get to learn about community institutions and events that I might not otherwise hear much about. One of these institutions is the Open Wings Learning Community, a special kind of school, although that might not even be the right word for it, located in Kenosha. And here to tell us more about it are the new head of school, Dr. Corey Drake, and Dr. Kim Hufford-Ackles, founder of Open Wings and current education director. And I just realized, Kim, I might not have pronounced your last name correctly, did I?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, so let me just introduce them a little bit of background. Corey Drake is the new head of school at Open Wings Learning Community. She has worked in teacher education for the past 20 years, most recently at Michigan State University, where she was director of teacher preparation for 9 years. She received her PhD in human development and social policy from Northwestern University in 2000, where Kim Hufford-Ackles was a fellow graduate student, colleague, and friend. And welcome, Corey.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
And Kimberly Hufford-Ackles founded Open Wings Learning Community in 2012 with her longtime friend and colleague, Tom Eber. She worked on the design of a new kind of school through collaborations with a thoughtful network of professionals and therapists. Open Wings launched in September of 2012 with 8 students and a learning framework that embraced individualization and strength-based learning. The original mission and vision continue to carry forward to help students learn and grow. Prior to her work to create and launch Open Wings, Dr. Hufford-Ackles was a school administrator in Winnetka, Illinois. She received her PhD from Northwestern University in 1999, where she focused on supporting teachers. She enjoys combining her passions for teaching and learning with parenting her 4 children, including raising a daughter living on the autism spectrum. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. It's a delight.
So that's a lot of background right there, but Kim, since you were one of the founders of Open Wings, can you just describe in some detail for our listeners the mission of Open Wings and your students for those who may not be familiar with the school?
Sure. I thought I'd just start by reading our mission. Open Wings Learning Community is a school that focuses on the whole child. The school environment nurtures deep and meaningful learning through a balanced, experiential, and integrated educational program that is individualized for students. The entire school community benefits from drawing on a diverse community of learners. There's a lot of language and a lot of words there to unpack, but basically, we're a learning environment designed to support individual students. We support students to thrive and learn through building on their strengths. And it's sort of unique because every student has a voice and every day we hear their voices. Does that make sense?
Yeah, can you describe, like, what do you mean by that students have a voice? I mean, I think most of us who are parents think our own children have voices. So how do they express their voices in Open Wings where they might not somewhere else?
That's a great question because voice could have a lot of different meanings, right? Mm-hmm. So at Open Wings, we literally hear students talk a lot, but those students that don't have a language, we find lots of ways to understand what they want to communicate with us as well. And that's sort of unique in a school environment. But every student is important in our community and feels valued because we take time to hear from each one.
Great. So going into a little bit more detail, what is it about the learning environment program and staff at Open Wings that allows students with unique learning and behavioral characteristics to be successful? I guess that could come from either of you.
I think it's because we have a really low student-to-teacher ratio. and that it isn't a set formula, but we try to set students up for success. And sometimes that's in a small group classroom of 3 or 4 students or 8 students, or a classroom of 12 students with associate teachers there to help support everyone in the room. So that allows us to have a very individualized and hands-on kind of experiential learning opportunity for every student. And we say we have a diverse community of learners because we have typically developing students and complex learners. That's just one element of our diversity. We have lots of elements of diversity at our school. But one thing that's beautiful about having a diverse community of learners is that students learn so much from each other. We're there as teachers and educators, but truly children learn so much from each other. And that's what's so unique about our environment. We have many students who have come from being homeschooled and join our school. And this is something that they continue to receive a unique educational experience, but have this opportunity to do it in community, which is a benefit for many of them. And we spend a lot of time studying our students. We want to understand them as learners, but we really want to understand what motivates each kid, each student. Rather than asking the students to conform to us as a school, we are constantly trying to conform to them in ways that support their success as learners. So our environment's pretty fluid. And we're constantly sitting down and discussing each student as an individual and how they're doing. Sometimes it's to celebrate victories that they're having and to kind of figure out, well, what did we do that ended it with that result? And sometimes it's just to sit down and go, this is not working. So what do we do next? Let's try this. And we have a very collaborative setting that allows for that. And a lot of really talented educators that have experiences and have tried things and failed or found success that we can bring to each individual student.
So this is not on our list of questions, but now I'm really curious. So you said you have a very low student teacher ratio. What is it?
Well, it's not a formula.
Yeah.
But boy, that's a hard one. Cora, you've been working on our staffing. Where are we? Like, one student to,
right? I mean, a typical classroom would be, you know, 4 to 6 students with 2 adults. So okay. It's quite low. And as Kim says, sometimes that literally is the arrangement. You have 4 students with 2 adults. Other times we have some bigger classrooms where we might have 8 or 12 students, but then we have more adults in there. So probably, you know, 3 or 4 to 1, you know, and again, it shifts on any given day as students move across different spaces, but you know, between 3 and 4 to 1.
And then we've had a lot, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We've had a lot of opportunities to have student teachers visit with us and interns and people that are curious about our classrooms. And we never have people come and sit on the side. We always say, join in. So often we'll have a lot of adults working with our students, and it's just a learning community where we're all working and learning together.
And is there an age range? Like, do you take kids as young as 2, or is there, you know, is there a bottom range and a top range of ages?
When we opened 10 years ago now, we opened with students between 5 and 8. And then each year we just expanded that. Mm-hmm. And some of those students have moved on now, they're older. But we this year we have students from 5 to 9th grade this year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, okay. It's a wider range. And we're super excited because now we have a lower school and a middle school.
Right. So then my next question then, since you used the word 9th grade, is do you actually put students in age graded groupings, or is it, you know, just... is it age grouping, or is, you know, how do you group them?
Well, I might be jumping ahead, but okay. When we talk a little bit about the way the day is broken up, mm-hmm. or what a day looks like, in the morning, we tend to have students learn in groups that are working about at the same grade level in their material and their academics. But they might be different ages. They might be from, say, 6 to 9 working in one reading group. I often just forget how old our students are because we don't pay such close attention to their age. We pay attention to where they need to learn next. And that defines how we group students. But we also value having students interact with their same age peers. So often in the afternoons, we have opportunities through our afternoon classes that are might be the arts or kinetic wellness or a yoga class that we can have students that are in same age groupings, and we're not as worried about where they are academically. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And we can talk more about that later because I know I did have that question later on, but I was just thinking, I always try to put myself in the ears of the listener, and they're thinking, wait a minute, how many kids, where, how does this happen? Is my 10th grader eligible? You know, that sort of thing. So now we know. So I have a colleague who served on the board at Open Wings and told me that the staff are encouraged not to refer to learners by their diagnoses or even as having special needs. So how do you view and describe the population of students that you work with at Open Wings?
This is where I think we're really unique as a school. So we view our students as kids. They're kids. They're not viewed by some kind of complicated label or profile or the file they came in the door with at our school. They're viewed as kids. They're experiencing a childhood. We view them as students who want to have friends, who want to be in community, and who want to learn. We really truly believe all of our students want to learn. And things that have blocked that in the past, perhaps, we try to figure out and try and get to that core of who they are as a student and a child. So our, like I was saying, we have a diverse group of individuals and they're all different. It's hard to even describe the group. They're made up of so many different kinds of kids and people, but they're all contributing to our learning community. And we've got artists and actors and mathematicians, and every student is just an interesting individual. And truly, we learn so much from them. As they do their academic work, we're always like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that. I learned so much this spring about macaws and toucans and sloths. Because they're curious learners and they are really, they want to share what they're learning, and we are the recipients.
Okay, so now that we know a little bit about what Open Wings is, one of the reasons we wanted to do this interview is that you've selected a new head of school, Dr. Corey Drake, and you all heard my introduction earlier. So I want to ask, Corey, what attracted you to Open Wings as a consultant the past few years and now as its new head of school?
Thanks so much. So I think you've heard a little bit about some of the amazing work that's happening at Open Wings. And I always like to say, going back to this question of student voice, the first time I visited Open Wings, I happened to be in Chicago for work. And I knew that Kim had started the school and I just wanted to see what was going on there. And I spent the day at Open Wings, just one day. And by the time I left at the end of the day, not only had I heard every student's voice, but I could tell you something about each student and who they were as a reader and as a writer and as a mathematician. Students are engaged in authentic work and work that's exciting to them and interesting to them. And they have a voice and they have autonomy in that. And to me, that is what school should be for all children. And so to see it in action at Open Wings was so compelling that I kept returning. And, you know, as a teacher educator, part of what I wanted to do was be a learner and figure out what is it that these teachers are doing? What do they know? What skills have they learned that allow them to set up these learning environments for children that are so powerful and where students have voice and autonomy and age? And to take some of that learning back to the work I was doing in teacher education, working with teacher candidates, pre-service teachers, so that they could take these ideas wherever they might go, whether they go into a public school setting, a private school setting, informal learning. I think this is what we want for all children. is that they have this kind of experience. And so that was really what kept bringing me back to Open Wings. And so when there was an opportunity to have more of a formal role as head of school and to be able to continue to support and learn from both the teachers and children, I grabbed that opportunity and I'm so excited.
Good. I have a few more questions, but first I have to say that you are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Open Wings School and its new leadership is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again there, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So, Corey, as a new head of school, what are your goals for the school and for yourself for the next 1 to 3 years? What would you like the maybe prospective students and their families to know about Open Wings and your vision for it?
Absolutely. So the first thing in my mind is you heard that the school started with 8 students. It's been around for 10 years now, and it's grown quite a bit. So we're anticipating 50, maybe 52 students in the fall. And so that has been a lot of growth. And so my number one priority is to support teachers in making sure that they have the resources they need to continue to teach in all the ways you've been hearing about, to continue to sustain and fulfill the mission of Open Wings, even as it grows larger. Right, we continue to have that small student, that low student teacher ratio, but we want to make sure we are teaching in ways that are building on the strengths of all students, that capture their interest and their motivation, that are community engaged. And so my number one priority is to make sure that that is happening and is as robust as ever. And then our goal is to grow. We know that there are many more students out in Kenosha area, in Wisconsin, and across the country, really, who would benefit from being able to attend a school like Open Wings. And so we see that growth happening in two ways. One way is that we hope to eventually expand the school itself to open other sites, bring in more students, but also to continue the work of teacher learning and to have Open Wings be a space where teachers can learn and again take these ideas to other spaces. So we are looking forward to increasing our partnerships with universities to bring in student teachers, pre-student teachers, also to partner with districts and bring in practicing teachers and administrators so that again, they can see what this looks like in practice. These are a lot of ideas we talk about in teacher education, about student-directed learning, about progressive education, about problem solving, about community engagement. And at Open Wings, teachers can really see what this looks like and develop this vision that they can take to their own classrooms and schools and thereby serve their students as well. So both kind of sustaining the mission of the school as it grows, but then also fostering that growth for both students and teachers are my main goals over the next few years.
Great. So I know we started getting into this earlier because I was just so curious, I couldn't wait, but tell us about a typical day for children at Open Wings.
So this is a model that we built with all of the wonderful input we had when we first started, and we've pretty much stayed with it. But we start our day by transitioning students into the learning environment. And so that might look different for different kinds of kids. Some students need to come in and have some quiet and kind of recalibrate and get ready for the day. And some students need their nervous systems woken up. And so they spend a little time doing laps in the gym or playing some games in the gym. And then they go into their classrooms. And then our mornings are always the same. They're kind of a routine for us. We do reading, writing, and math every morning. And that's broken up a little bit by snack and recess. And then we have lunch. And I mentioned snack, recess, and lunch because they're also purposeful in our day. Those are opportunities for us to support students in having dialogue with one another. Most of us get to know people by sitting down over a meal. So how do we do that? How do we learn how to do that? That's something that we all want to be able to do as we grow up and enter the world of adult living. And so we work on that and just helping support friendships and play and how to be in community. So those, I mentioned those parts because they're also an important part of our day. And then in the afternoon, we rotate through science, social studies, And then a lot of the arts, art, dance, yoga, language. We've done French in the past. We're considering shifting to Spanish. And we have drama opportunities. Every day we have kinetic wellness, which is our gym class, essentially. And we feel like every day everybody needs to move. It's good for our bodies, which is good for our minds. So that's a valued part of our afternoon. And then another thing that we do in the afternoons that's somewhat unique is we have a lot of community visitors come into our school and talk about their lives and what they do, interesting things. Like we've had sign painters come in and share how they do their craft. We've had beekeepers come in. We've had carpenters come in and build with our students. We've had quilt makers. We've had lots of interesting people come in. And then also field experiences. So we take what we're studying and then we get out in the world and learn more about it. So for example, if we're studying transportation, well, then we go ride the city bus and the wonderful trolleys, streetcars that we have in Kenosha. And we've been to the airport and sat in the pilot seat and we've toured the Coast Guard boats and lots of things that just help make the learning that we're doing in the classroom more meaningful to students, build more connections so that they can learn it deeply. So, well, that's a little bit about our days. And they're really interesting and fun. And if we can't bring a community visitor in, now we can Zoom with them. And we've done that.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've described sort of what the students do all day. Is there sort of a typical classroom? Like, are they smaller since you've only got 4 to 6 students in them? And then how do you choose teachers for your learning community? Are they, do they have a particular kind of license or no license? Is it more about prior experience rather than credentialing, or how do you make those decisions?
Those are great questions. And so, I'll start with the classrooms first. For sure, they tend to be a little bit smaller, though we have a range. We have some very small classrooms. We have some larger classrooms. I think a few of the things a visitor might notice in those classrooms is, first of all, they are very calm spaces. So there isn't a lot that would distract students, but they're very kind of warm and welcoming spaces. So there are not a lot of loud noises or lots of things on the walls that would be distracting, but at the same time, students have their space, they're very comfortable. And that's something I notice right away when I walk into an open wings classroom, is how comfortable the students are in those classrooms. And so they are not sitting in desks and rows and not getting up and moving, but students are comfortable moving around or using flexible seating or finding the spaces and the ways of engaging that are most comfortable and productive for them. So that's something I think you would certainly notice in these classrooms. And then you'll notice that students are busy creating and producing. So they aren't doing a lot of listening to a lecture, they're not doing a worksheet, but they are writing, they are reading books, they are doing mathematical problems and problem solving. And so you see a lot of activity around that. So when we think about what kinds of teachers can lead a classroom like this, can really support students in the ways that are strengths-based and community engaged, it varies, and it's not a particular license, and it's not necessarily even a particular set of experiences, but we find it's really an orientation. It's an orientation to focusing on what kids can do and what kids are interested in, as opposed to what they cannot do or what their labels or limitations might be. And so really, we are really willing to learn from children, understand children, see their strengths, and then build on those strengths. And so it does require also having a strong understanding of how content develops over time, because you need to know, who is this student? What are their strengths? What are they bringing to this classroom? And then where might we go next? How can I build on what they're bringing to advance their learning? And so it's really teachers who are open to doing that kind of work and who don't feel overly constrained by some of the constraints that I think we see in our school systems around kind of rigid curriculum, rigid behavioral expectations, but instead can be in community with their learners and really building on those strengths. And again, you know, our teachers come from all different backgrounds in terms of, you know, formal teacher preparation or not, and what kinds of schools and teaching they've done in the past. But we really look for that kind of orientation and that openness.
So, you know, the what you described earlier was sort of the, you know, all the typical subject areas. You know, people at any school would recognize social studies, science, reading, and math. So how do you decide what happens? Are there benchmarks based on age, or just based on, you know, how if they reach the benchmark at whatever time, how do you decide what's in the social studies curriculum, for example? Because there, you know, there's no way to teach all of social studies, so you have to draw some lines. So I'm wondering how you make those decisions, or do you follow a set of standards, or where does it come from?
Those are great questions. I think, you know, we really are building on the needs and strengths of individual students, but there are some resources that we use and some goals that we have. So we really think in terms of learning progressions and thinking about in each of those content areas, what are the progressions that we might see students move through, recognizing that all students are also different and that the progression for one student is not necessarily the same as another. And what we really don't want are students stuck in a particular place. So we really look at what are they understanding, what are they working on, and what would make sense, where would we move next in terms of that. But we've also invested and, you know, been fortunate recipients of high quality instructional materials that really provide resources for teachers. So it's not the same as a typical classroom where we say, here's the grade one math curriculum, teach this. But instead we say, get to know your student. What is it that they need to work on now? What are some of the ideas you might want to work on? And here's the whole range of grade level math curriculum. And so where are some resources and ideas and tasks in there that would be helpful for this student or for this small group of students? And so we do have progressions and expectations and curricular resources, but we use them in a much more flexible way and in a way that's really tailored to the needs of each student.
Right. Can I add one more thing? Mm-hmm. So the pandemic, as we all know, brought a lot of challenges, but one opportunity that came through the pandemic for us was the development of an online platform that we're really proud of and excited about, that was so successful for a number of students following all these same principles, but with creative teachers doing it online. So we've decided to continue that. So that's another venue that we're doing all these same things that Corey's talking about, but through an online platform. We call it Open Wings Online.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, what part of what you're describing is just kind of breaking those grade level boundaries, which the best description I've ever heard of that is we organize students, we batch process them by date of manufacture. All we're doing is drawing lines around them saying you were born between this date and this date, so you therefore have to follow these rules. But anybody who's ever spent any time around children or even thought deeply about their own learning knows that it does not progress in a linear fashion. And in fact, it doesn't progress in all the different subjects at the same rate. So, so you may have a third grader who is doing whatever the age range that we call third grade is, might be doing eighth grade level math, but still reading as a second grader. Sure. That happens all the time. So I'm going to assume that with only 4 to 6 students in a class, that makes it so that you can actually accommodate all those differences. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And we have those students that are working at eighth grade and second grade. And it provides challenges and opportunities, but we have the flexibility and we're nimble enough to be able to support the learning in those different content areas in the ways they need.
And I think a thing that's really probably not unique, but special about Open Wings and the way we think about differentiation is sometimes we hear about individualized instruction and differentiation and we imagine individual students each kind of working on their own on whatever their thing is. Maybe they're plugged into a computer or maybe they're working on paper, but they each have their own thing. And that's not how we think about differentiation, because we think the aspects of community and socialization and kids learning from each other is so important. And so it's more about having things that we can do all together, but we each access those activities at our own level and we use them to learn the thing we need to work on now. So we might all be reading a story together, but some students are working on, you know, word recognition and understanding what they're hearing in the story, and others are working on reading independently, and others are working on writing a story that follows on the story they've just read. And so there are, we think of, try to find lots of opportunities where students can be working together, but each at their own level, versus thinking that they each need to be, kind of be working on their own. And so it's a little bit different vision of individualized instruction than we sometimes see.
Okay. Once again, I just want to tell everyone that you're listening to WGTD HDFM. This is Education Matters. We are discussing the Open Wings School and its new leadership. And this program is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So someone is out there listening to this right now, probably saying, huh, this sounds kind of interesting. I need to know more. They might think their own child or their niece or grandson or whomever might benefit from Open Wings. So what should they do?
They should reach out to us. We are always interested in meeting new families and learning from and about new children. We have a website, openwingslearning.org. People can reach out to us through there. And on there, you'll see that also every Monday afternoon this summer, we're hosting virtual coffee chats where some combination of the leadership of Open Wings will be online to talk to anyone who's interested, whether it's a prospective family member or just a local community member, anyone who's interested in learning more about Open Wings. And then, of course, once we get to September and school has restarted, we definitely encourage everyone who is interested to come take a tour or just to spend a little time at Open Wings. You really almost immediately get struck by the culture there, the atmosphere there, what makes it a really special place. But definitely reach out to us. We are always interested in meeting with new families.
There might be someone listening who's not a big fan of websites. So what is the phone number? Do either of you know that offhand?
262-697-7744.
Okay. And then the other thing I'm sure people are curious is, okay, where is this? Wait, do you have a physical building somewhere?
It's a great question. We will be our eighth year. We are in the Tabernacle Church, which is right next to Southwest Library. And they have graciously allowed us to use a lot of their space, especially as we've grown and grown. And we really appreciate that church body and family for allowing us to serve kids kind of in a parallel way in that building. As Corey said, we're growing and we see in the future opening additional sites. So we want people to stay tuned and watch for that.
How lucky you being right next to the library. I'm sure that was a deliberate, right?
Oh, we use it all the time. Yeah. Students are active members.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'm sure other people that are listening also are curious whether or not you participate in the Wisconsin Parental School Choice Program, which would allow for state money to be spent for tuition or not.
In the last couple of years have been taking the special needs scholarship at mm-hmm. Open Wings. Okay. So we have a parental contribution and that, scholarship is accessible, not to everyone. Mm-hmm. But we certainly would be happy to talk with people about how we have been able to use that in the past. and hope to continue using it in the future as we watch the political climate and wonder what the future holds. But mm-hmm. we also have to say we have some many, many very generous donors who have helped us keep our tuition to a place where families can send their students. We want to throw the doors open and let every student who could benefit from Open Wings be with us. So we think really hard about ways to support students and families to meet that goal. And we've gotten many checks from aunts and uncles and grandparents to have students with us. And one thing I will say is we're quite creative and we're pretty good problem solvers. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but we really have hearts to serve students. And we know we've changed a lot of lives for not only the students, but we've stabilized a lot of families and a lot of grandparents sleep better at night knowing that students are at Open Wings.
Right. So I guess the message is, if you are interested, the best thing to do is take the first steps and inquire and don't Absolutely. Assume anything, right? Assume
absolutely.
Assume cooperation.
Yes, we work with each family to figure out what's possible for them and how can we make this work to serve your child.
Okay. So I'm curious about the journey that each of you took into education and specifically into this kind of education. You know, tell me about a little bit about the twists and turns that brought you to this place in this, you know, in this particular kind of school.
Well, Karen, you're kind of dating us now because my journey is very long at this point. So when I first was an undergraduate at Northwestern, I wanted to be a doctor. But I quickly discovered that I was not a fan of blood and I really was not a fan of the cadaver lab. So I took a pivot and decided to teach science. And that was my entree into teaching. And I loved it. It wasn't my plan at first, but it turns out I absolutely loved it. So I went back to graduate school to the program that Corey and I both attended. That was a program that really opened my mind to think about teaching and learning very deeply. And it made an enormous impression on me about how we all, as children and as adults, learn. And I really enjoyed focusing on teacher learning, and that was a huge interest of mine. And so when I left the PhD program, I worked for the Winnetka Public Schools for a number of years in Illinois. And that's a unique school district. It was under amazing leadership. And I learned a lot about taking those ideas about deep learning and teaching that is effective into the schools and thinking about and really believing that every student can learn. And what does that mean? And what, like that, I was very impressed that that was something I was going to shape my life around. So then when I started having children, I had a fourth child that was a complex learner. I could tell from the very beginning. I watched her, I studied her, the way she played with toys showed me that she was very curious about the world and had an intelligence that was non-stoppable. She really wanted to learn, and everything in her environment was her classroom. And I watched all this unfolding and I thought, where am I going to send this child to school? I just didn't know. And so I spent a lot of time studying schools around the country and trying to figure out where do students like this go that are not typical learners, slow to develop language, but very curious. And I couldn't find one I felt was a fit to this child. I feared that I would send her to a public school classroom with so many children that she would just sit in the corner. And that's nobody's fault. I just felt that was probably what would happen if I took that step. So I called on my colleague, Tom Eber, who was retiring at the time from the Winnetka Public Schools. And I said, we have talked many times about starting a school, and this is the time. This is what we're going to do it. We're going to put all those dreams into motion and start a school. So I was really impressed with one school that I studied in Manhattan that served student complex learners. And they had a video on their site where kids ran in the door to that school. And I thought, that's it. That's my goal. I want to start a school where kids want to run in the door and be there. Because if you want to run in the door as a child, you're ready to learn. You want to be there, which is a big part of being able to learn once you're there. And that's what we have in Open Wings. It's taken a lot of thought and time, and it's been the hardest thing I've ever done and the most gratifying thing that I've ever done. But I invite anybody who's listening to come pull in our parking lot Monday through Friday morning and watch the kids. They run in the door.
Corey, can you give us a little bit about your journey to this place?
Sure. And it's interesting. Kim and I started in similar places and then took our own journeys. And now it's exciting to be back together on a journey together. But I also started as an undergraduate thinking I was going to go to medical school for very similar reasons to Kim, said this is not for me, but also realized that the things I love to do involved working with children. So I was a teacher's aide and an after-school drama program director in the Chicago Public Schools. I then became a special education teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. After a couple years, decided I had a lot more to learn to become a better teacher. And so went to graduate school with Kim, where I realized I loved teaching teachers. And I really love supporting new teachers in learning to teach, and in particular in learning to teach in ways that build on the strengths of all children and that really welcome all children into school. And so that is something I've been doing for the past 20 years at a few different universities, but really continuing to work on how do we prepare teachers and support teachers so that schools can be welcoming places for all children. We tend to see schools kind of pushing kids out for a variety of reasons over time, whether it is because of disability or race or behavior or, you know, all of the things that schools struggle to handle. And we want schools to be places that pull all kids in, as Kim says, where they all run in the door. And at the end of the day, they have learned something and have had a voice and have had, you know, a place where they feel welcomed as part of the community. And so now, you know, I'm in this place where those ideas are a reality, and we can think about how do we prepare more teachers, more schools, more students for this kind of work.
Okay. We actually have only about 30 seconds left. So I just want to ask you quickly, what are one or two of the most helpful things that the community can do to support Open Wings specifically or unique learners in general?
Please spread the word. I think not everybody knows that schools like Open Wings are out there and available for children. And so the more the word gets out, the more children we can bring in the doors and really serve. So spread the word and really just look for ways to support all the children in the community. Every child has something to offer the community. Every child needs to be welcomed in the community, and keep doing that work.
Okay. Well, my thanks to our guests, Kim Hufford-Eccles and Corey Drake of the Open Wings School. This discussion is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. The website is openwingslearning.org. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, replacement trees are available for Kenosha City Parks Lawn Parks. Approved applicants will receive an order form with a list of trees they may select. Forms must be returned by the date noted, and the tree will be planted in October. Kenosha.org. Support comes from Kenosha County ADRC. Caravan is now offering expanded weekend hours Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 6. Rides available for elders and persons with disability, $4 one-way fares. Reservations required one day in advance. Call 262-658-9093.
Join us this coming Saturday morning at 11:15 for the rebroadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater's It Could Have Been a Wonderful Life with very special guest star Carolyn Zuzu Grimes. The Radio Theater, Saturday morning at 11:15. And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to the WGTD Radio Theater. I'm co-executive producer Steve Brown, and this is a rebroadcast from 2006. And this was our award-winning It Could Have Been a Wonderful Life. Our very special guest stars are Carolyn Grimes, who played Zuzu, and also Jimmy Hawkins, who played her younger brother,